You thought you'd gotten rid of us, didn't you? But you were wrong, old bean, because we're back with a vengeance.
From studios in Hollywood, California, rural southern Indiana, and the hinterlands of North Dakota, this is the Live, Laugh, Golf Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Desert Duffer, OTB Lefty, and Jay Score.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome to the 10th episode
of the Live,
Laugh, Golf Podcast. OTB Lefty, Jay Score, how are you guys doing?
Great. I'm back. Pooj is back. All is right in the world.
I'm doing really great. Excited. We've got another short week with some exciting golf for me this weekend. So feeling good.
Was it a good week for you guys? Did you catch any blowback from your haters and losers? Did anybody from the Fred Couples camp or the Billy Horschel camp get in touch with you?
Absolutely. We had a couple of discussions with some long-term Fred Couples fans who thought maybe a little heavy-handed, maybe some shots about the height, shots about the personal life. I said, hey, I mean, it is what it is. He lived it, and I just testified about it. And someone mentioned
What about positive blowback? I mean, do you hear from any of Freddie's ex-wives who appreciated what
There's a real low joke right there. We're not going to do that one. But someone had a thoughtful point this week, and shout out to him for the help that, you know, perhaps some jealousy for missing his chance to play worldwide golf on a stage like this with the best fields when he had an opportunity with Norman.
Yeah, I mean, you got a feel for the guy. He barely made any money at all in that career, right?
Poor Fred. Yeah, I mean, well, he definitely had all the incentive that everybody out there is mentioning when discussing the reasons that people would come to Live, like injury risk or shortness of careers or how things go, striking while the iron is hot and taking the best opportunity. He would have been a great candidate for that in his prime, which was 30 years ago this year.
Screw that. Screw that guy. What about Billy Ho? Do you hear anything from any of the big Billy Ho fans out there at J-Score?
It's interesting to hear people come out and start to say they maybe like Billy Ho a lot now. Like, to go from despising him to suddenly they like him a lot overnight is a little...
nothing to like about Billy Horschel.
Somebody
was calling him Billy Horseshit on Twitter this week. I was clutching my own pearls.
You know, I've honestly never thought about it, but man, that just rolls right off the tongue.
For me, I didn't hear anything. Nobody seemed to even notice my haters and losers of the week. So nothing on this end. Anyway, to the golf. The big story in pro golf this week, of course, was the BMW PGA Championship in Surrey, England. Do you guys know anything about Surrey? It's at Wentworth West in Surrey. Do you know anything about Surrey?
Surrey with the fringe on top is as close as I get.
Surrey is a county in southeast England. It's about 25 to 30 miles west of London, but I'm told it's like a 90-minute car ride.
Woof.
Yeah, so it's not great. But so famously, it's the home of titular hero and heroine, Harry Potter Emma, respectively. So Surrey is a huge county with the most famous of all female British novelists, J.K. Rowling, and of course, Jane Austen.
I'm taken aback. I'm stunned by these great facts.
Harry Potter grew up in Surrey with the mean parents. You guys, you don't pretend you're not big Harry Potter fans.
I'm familiar that Harry Potter had parents.
But then there were the people who raised him. Anyway, that's what's going on in Surrey. Wentworth, that's where the tournament took place. We'll talk about the course in a little bit. But first off, the tournament was won by Shane Lowry. Shot a final round 7-under 65. To win by one stroke over little Lord McIlroy. Rory McIlroy came up one stroke short, had an eagle putt on 18 that would have tied it and put it into a playoff, came up just short. So Lowry, who was two shots behind Victor Hovland and Søren Kjeldsen going into the final round, made birdie on the final hole, that par five. He was our winner. Hovland didn't play well. Did you guys watch any of this?
I did not watch the Saturday round. I saw some of the end on Sunday, and it was widely reported. I'm very plugged in, so I read all the post gamers and all that stuff.
So it was, if you didn't catch this, the tournament was, of course, reduced to 54 holes following the death of Queen Elizabeth II. You heard that, right? You caught that news from Cincinnati?
Yes.
The Queen City. Yes. So, you know, our condolences, of course, to all the monarchists in England and the Commonwealth states. Going into the week, there were a lot of jokes being made, because this joke never gets old, that the LIV players may have trouble with the tournament because it was going to be 72 holes and they might get tired after 54. Well, they ended up playing 54 holes. So the LIV players, in fact, did quite well. Patrick Reed came in fifth, was the clubhouse leader for a while, and Taylor Gooch made eagle on 18 to finish solo fourth. So it was a strong effort by the LIV guys.
Right. Can we dispense with this thing about the 54 versus the 72 holes? Like, the pros just play as many holes as they have to play, and they just play the tournaments as they're set up for them, for one another.
Who cares?
They play against one another.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so clever, right? Oh, they're going to run out of energy. But it's 1,000 arguments about something just to keep you off the topic. Like, it's not a real tournament. But we've been having the Greensboro Open for 7,400 years. Now they're only going to try to play 54 holes. Enough. Like, it's not clever.
It's meaningless. I mean, who cares? There are all kinds of tournaments all over the world that are played at 54 holes. This is just one of the justifications that they've latched onto because of the OWGR thing. Like, they're
exactly
just dying to make it so, well, there's a legitimate reason why these players aren't getting world ranking points. And that's because it's 54 hole tournaments they're playing. That's, of course, not a real reason.
No, and of course, the OWGR and the amateur golf ranking as well all have 54 hole events earning points to some degree. They're very selective about it. We've talked about this before, but and at the end of the day, Duff, I know where the narrative will go. People will pivot. They'll start talking about, it's not just the number of holes or days of the tournament. It's also the strength of field.
It's because the players don't get their way. The number of entrants arbitrarily selected, and oh my god, who cares? Like,
even though a lot of tournaments start as invitationals, and the tournament itself being an invitational and being invented out of nowhere, eventually can earn points. It's all just pointless. But the debate will rage on, and we'll hear about the field size and strength of field next.
In any event, they played 54 holes. They all played 54 holes, and it turns out they could all do it at a course that turned out to be quite easy.
17 under through three rounds.
Yeah. Billy Horschel won last year at 19 under. Tyrrell Hatton won the year before, also at 19 under. And Danny Willett won in 2019 at 20 under. So this course is pretty easy, it seems like. The scoring average for the week for those who made the cut was 68.9, and it's a par 72 course. So is this too easy, this course, for what they call, what they tell me, is the Euro Tour's premier event?
So when I was watching it on Sunday, I was able to watch a bit of it on Sunday morning and getting to see Rory in action. He certainly made it look easy. Certainly not hard by any stretch of the imagination.
The finishing holes are both par fives. 17 and 18 are both par fives.
Didi, that's a clumsy finish, but also a tour like this that's kind of fledgling, you want to say, that's maybe not as good as it could be.
Yeah, it's a birdie fest. It's like the Corn Ferry Tour.
Well,
they're trying
to do what they can do to show off the talents of the players, and having a finish where players are going to have birdie opportunities coming in will make for a good finish for television. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's for. I mean, this is television entertainment. I mean, I see no problem with it.
You know, who cares? Nobody's watching anyway. This
no, the score is irrelevant. Par has always been irrelevant. Nobody really cares about the final score. It's just, you want that action. It's an entertainment thing.
Yeah. One thing of note is that for years, this tournament was held in May. It was only changed to a September event in 2019. And what's the reason they did that? Of course, it's because their PGA Tour overlords suggested that they might get more PGA Tour players to come if they did it in September during this fall season. And so that's why you get guys like Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy and Billy Horschel coming over to grab some cash and some Race to Dubai points to play at Wentworth. So Shane Lowry won. By all accounts, historically, Shane Lowry, great guy, right? Everybody loves the chubby Irishman. Well, he couldn't stay away from the controversy. At the end, when he won, biggest victory for him, certainly in 3 years, hadn't won in 3 years, said he'd always want to win this event. He couldn't resist saying he felt that this win was a win for the good guys.
You know, I made no secrets as to how I feel about the whole thing at the start of the week, and I wanted to go out and win this tournament for myself first and foremost, but I think for this tour, and you know, everyone that has stayed loyal to this tour and everyone that's done everything for this tour, I really feel like you know, this is one for the good guys.
Are the good guys really the PGA Tour players who play four or five events on the DP World Tour every year? Is that what it's come to? Like, they're the good guys? Is Shane Lowry a good guy?
So that's the thing, Duff, is like I want it to be like pro wrestling and this idea of factions and just true fantasy fun with the little snide remarks and pettiness that's going on in the media right now. But it feels like everybody's like towing the line, like walking this fine line between testing the waters, haven't gone all in yet on just coming out in the open on both sides and treating it like a...
You're saying you want him to wear a black hat if he's like, going to wear a black hat. Shane Lowry has never been a black hat guy, okay? I could make an argument that Rory McIlroy, little Lord McIlroy, is a black hat guy, okay? I'm tired of his act. Shane Lowry is in a different category, certainly. But he's now fallen into this camp that players who come to play the DP Tour have not been loyal to the tour previously. I don't even understand. Okay, I get what's going on with the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. They feel like the PGA Tour feels like it's facing an existential crisis. The DP Tour is in an entirely different situation. The LIV Tour is not a competitor to the DP World Tour. They played one event out of eight this year in Europe. The players who've been playing for the DP World Tour and are now playing on the LIV Tour are still trying to play DP World Tour events. So they're not losing their players. In fact, the DP World Tour only requires four events a year for membership. Like, what is the threat? How do they think they're losing out to the LIV Tour that they can sustain this ridiculous assertion that these guys are ruining their tour? What is it about?
This has been puzzling me too. The DP World Tour is in the weakest position that it's ever been in, and should just have hands wide open. Thank you for attending our event. BMW coughed up big money for this tournament. They want all the players they could get, and all this talk about I'm not talking to guys that I used to be good friends with. We loved our teammates so much at the Ryder Cup 3 years ago or 2 years ago or 1 year ago or whatever. Now we have no longer have the same relationships with those guys. Well, we can't even eat dinner because we haven't seen each other in a while, was a paraphrase of one of genius Lowry's quotes. And it's like, what do you mean you can't eat dinner together because you haven't seen each other for a while? That's the reason that you go eat dinner with somebody is because you haven't seen them for a while. I sometimes think something like sour grapes. You know, the guy that you used to be a salesman with in your territory all of a sudden got offered a job with a competitor.
Exactly.
And now he makes 3X and he sells a better product and he gets to go all of these awesome places. And you say, well, I'm holding it down out here in Southern Indiana.
So that's the thing.
I decided not to sell chips in Taiwan. I decided to keep selling them in rural Indiana like a real
opportunity.
When it comes to golf tournaments and these associations, these leagues, the players are not employees in the traditional sense, or they're not conduits of the product. They are the product themselves. And when you're selling that product to advertisers, and you're trying to generate gate sales and revenue sales and merchandise sales and all these things. It's just strange to me to hear people like think of it as anything other than that, when it's like the players are not employees.
Yeah, but
the
thing is, J-Score, employee or independent contractor, in this case, it doesn't make any difference to me, right? Like,
no.
So the reality is, first of all of these loudmouths, the ones who have the most to say about not liking these LIV players being at this DP World Tour event, are all PGA Tour players, right? These are the guys who are playing 20 to 30 events on the PGA Tour, and they come over for four or five events to keep their DP World Tour card. I didn't hear any of those comments from actual full-time DP World Tour players. And the reason why is the DP World Tour players will, at the first opportunity, head over to the PGA Tour to make more money. And they'll come over and play a few events doing the exact same thing. So it's hard to really imagine that there's a difference between these two things. And so the PGA Tour players, they're just bringing their beef over here and sort of interposing it upon the Euro Tour. But it's an entirely different scenario. And if there are, and I don't doubt that there are some number of Euro Tour players who don't like having them here either, It's easy to understand what that reason is. Well, those guys are making a ton of money. They made enough money over there. Don't come over here. But there's no substance behind that. You could say the very same thing about Rory McIlroy or Shane Lowry or Billy Horschel or John Rahm. What are you coming over here for? You've made $30 million in the United States on the PGA Tour. Leave these scraps, these crumbs for us. That's all it is. It's just jealousy. And on the part of the PGA Tour players, it's jealousy that not that they couldn't maybe have gotten an offer from LIV Golf, but they didn't. For whatever reason, they chose not to. And they feel like, well, you took that money. You shouldn't be able to get any other money. You have enough money. Get out of here.
I'm something I wrote down earlier today that if these folks hadn't moved on, if they were on some kind of strike, they were protesting something that had happened, some move by the tour, and they just said, we're not playing in any more tour events on the PGA Tour in the United States. We're done. And then they came over and played in this. Do you think it would play out any differently? Do you think they would get treated any differently? Do you think their relationships would be any
different? Of course. It's all about one thing. It's all about the money. First of all, on an individual level, it's about the money. It's about jealousy. Those guys, and that includes everyone from Rory and Tiger on down, they don't like the fact that those guys are getting this ridiculous amount of money. DJ has already made $10 million in four events on LIV, and he's leading the points race for the end of the year. So he's the favorite to win another $18 million there. And he's probably going to win several million in between here. So DJ's going to end up making, I would guess, between $40 to $50 million on course in eight events.
Decent.
And Rory decent. McIlroy hates that. He hates it because he decided for a variety of reasons that had to do not with anything ethical or moral, but having to do with sponsor relationships and, you know, business plans, including this Topgolf light thing that he's got going with Tiger. He decided not to do this. And he hates seeing people who he either thinks of as peers or even worse, lesser, make huge money.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that would make your stomach hurt when they walked in the room, right? And you had to picture that hanging over their head or those big dollar signs, and they walked right past you. Yeah, good stuff. Made a stomach.
So I don't want to read it, but I recommend that everybody read a piece written by Alistair Tate, who's been covering the Euro Tour for over 30 years, and he's got a website now. It's alistairtategolf.com. And he wrote a great article that I thought really did a good job of highlighting the hypocrisy of these players who are criticizing players playing in these DP World Tour events, players, some of whom didn't even play in this week's event because they were made to feel bad about showing up. Guys like Henrik Stenson, guys like Martin Keimer, who spent their life on the DP World Tour or the Euro Tour, and suddenly they're the bad guys. And Lee Westwood, who has made 587 European Tour appearances, is a bad guy for showing up to play in this event. It's absurd when you talk about Billy Horschel, who just joined the Euro Tour a year or two ago, or Shane Lowry, who's playing five events a year. So I highly recommend everyone read this. The name of the piece is called The European Disunion, and I think it does a really good job of highlighting that hypocrisy. Which leads us to, I think, it's Sergio. So one of the big stories, of course, was Sergio Garcia. Sergio shot a 4-over-76 in the first round. So the first round was played, then the queen died, and that's when they paused the tournament for a full day and then shortened it to three rounds. So Sergio shot a 4-over-76 in the first round. He was 12 shots behind the leaders after one round. It was a three-way tie at 8-under. So it's bad enough.
Not a good start.
It's a terrible start. And it's bad enough that you're...
He wasn't alone in that awful start, but...
Yeah, but look, the odds of him making the cut were very low, all right? And then the odds of him making a play to relevancy were even lower once you shorten the tournament by 25%. So what people are asking and what people are so up in arms about... So what Sergio did after the tournament was postponed and then shortened, is he took off. He got in his jet and he flew home to Austin, Texas. And people are up in arms about it. How dare you, Sergio? How dare you?
Hey, here's a question for you, Dev. For those folks, if he's taking up space or taking up money by coming to the tournament under some false pretense, right, as a LIV Golf member, isn't he doing them a favor when he leaves early? Isn't he doing those players that are supposedly so embittered by his presence? Isn't he doing them a favor? Isn't it an act of generosity?
Okay. I mean, sure. Yes, it is.
It absolutely is. I'll answer my own question. Yes, it is. Thank you very much, Sergio.
People, JT, but what their argument obviously is that it's so offensive. You took a spot from somebody who could have used it, some 40-year-old Spaniard who's working hard for his card, and you only played one round. You didn't even finish your obligation. Well, from a legal standpoint, there's a pretty good argument that the Euro Tour didn't fulfill its side of the obligation. Sergio signed up to play four rounds. I understand that the monarch of the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth states passed away. Sergio's not a resident or a citizen of any of those states. As much as I feel for the people who are feeling for the loss of their monarch, Sergio's from Spain and he lives in the United States. I don't think he's grieving over QE2, but you're asking him to stay over an extra 36 hours to almost certainly miss the cut. And then even if you do make the cut, you've got no chance of coming back because they cut off 25% of the tournament that you were told you were going to be able to play. You know what this does to me? You know what it suggests to me? Well, you know what's great? Appearance fees. Now, the DP World Tour does permit appearance fees. And the only reason they do permit appearance fees is because Seve, about 30 or 40 years ago, said, I'm leaving. I'm never playing here again unless you allow us to start getting paid to show up at tournaments. So to their credit, the Euro Tour does allow that. But I don't think Sergio got one this week. Now, if Sergio was paid by BMW to show up and play in this tournament, and they had a contract and said, we're going to give you 200 grand to come play here, you got to play a full event. Well, if Sergio took off after one round, from where I sit, he better pay BMW that money back or they better not pay him. But in the absence of that, too bad, so sad. This is what you get when you don't pay guys. When you say, hey, come here, roll the dice, maybe you'll get paid. Well, yeah, maybe you'll get me to play two rounds. Right? That's where I see
it. Yeah, I think it's just way overblown. Way overblown. Like, who could care?
J-Score, as you suggested or noted, he was one of six players to withdraw. Four withdrew after the first round. Besides Sergio, Justin Rose, who apparently had a back issue, Ryan Fox, and Christopher Broberg all withdrew. All were over par after the first round.
Yeah, I mean, Sergio, this whole situation with the 54 holes plus Sergio just basically piecing out and kind of doing what Sergio is known to do honestly makes me think all the better for fans overall. Like, it seems like it was a pretty entertaining weekend. Like, the 54 hole concept, even in and of itself, like, you start out cold, good luck. Like, that might be it for you. You know, you don't have it that weekend. Whereas maybe it's a better product for me as the fan overall. I kind of dig it, but the whole merit, the idea of the tours being meritocracies and guys got to like earn their way in. At the end of the day, it makes a difference. Sergio taking up one guy's spot. Like, it really doesn't.
Play better.
There are
play better.
So many
play better. Yep, everybody play better. Took one guy's Simple. Spot. Eddie Pepperell didn't earn his way in. He got a sponsor's exemption. Yep. At least Sergio Garcia earned his spot. He was entitled to it.
Yeah. Overall, I think it was a big week, though. I think it was entertaining, a good tournament. 14 of 18 players from LIV, I think,
yeah,
we'll talk about the LIV
performance. So. Well, I also want to talk a little bit about the TV coverage of the LIV players, but should we do an ad read?
Oh?
Are you ready?
Yeah, we don't have any ads. We don't have any ads.
this segment of the LIV Laugh Golf Podcast is presented by us because we have no sponsors.
But we do have something that I want to get out there. We've got a giveaway. We've got a contest. We have merchandise. As I mentioned on the LIV Boston wrap-up episode, I've got LIV merch. It's only available at a LIV golf event or on the secondary market, I suppose. But we've got LIV team hats. So as a thank you to all of you, our early listeners, we're going to do a giveaway. Winner gets the hat of his or her chosen LIV golf team. So to enter, leave us a rating. We need ratings. We like ratings. Leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars would be preferred. but, you know, that's up to you. But please include in your review your pick for the individual winner of LIV Golf Chicago and your Twitter handle. If you're not on Twitter, you can leave your Instagram handle. If you're not on Instagram, you can email contests@livelaughgolf.com with a screenshot of your review. And if you listen on Spotify or some other podcast app or site, same deal, email contests@livelaughgolf.com. The winner or closest to winner will get the hat. If there's a tie, we'll select randomly from those closest. I think I speak for all of us when I say we greatly appreciate those of you that have listened and subscribed, told your friends about us. We're doing our best to offer a different viewpoint, and we got a bunch of things planned that we hope you'll enjoy. So enter, win a hat, tell your friends, like, subscribe, etc. You guys have any additional comments?
No, I'm just greatly appreciative of our early listeners who've gotten through all of our technical difficulties, and I'm still working on stammering. I've only been working on it since I was 4 years old. I'm sure I'm about ready to turn the corner. But anyway,
yeah, you can't sign up for the contest. That's right.
Thank us very
Jason's
much.
Arms are off limits. Just like you can't make fun of Billy Horschel's speech, you can't make fun of OTPs either. That's the rule. All right, live players finish. They, as I said, Taylor Gooch solo fourth, Patrick Reed T5. He was the leader in the clubhouse. He shot a 63 on Sunday. Great round from P. Reed. T13, Lee Westwood and Adrian Odegaay. Who wants to correct my pronunciation of that? I don't know that anybody knows.
Otegi? I think it's Otegi. I think it's Otegi, but I'm not entirely.
All right, Otegi.
I'm not entirely sure, but I don't. I think he's out. Isn't he out now?
Yeah, we'll get to that. He's not going to be playing in Chicago, but he did finish T13 at Wentworth West. Both Adrian and Lee Westwood shot as low as 65 over the three rounds. One shot outside the top 10 at 1,200. Tied for 18th, Sam Horsfield and Abe Anser. Anser was one of those who took some heat from Billy Ho early in the week. Had an okay week, shot 5-under 67 on Sunday, 11-under for the tournament. Running down the list, tied for 23rd, Richard Bland, Justin Harding, and Bernd Wiesberger. T32, we had Ian Poulter and Pablo Larrazábal. T50, Graham McDowell, 72nd. DFL, for those that made the cut, Sean Norris. Yes, OTP.
I want to get something in quickly about Reed, who played great this week, obviously finished fifth. Also did a couple of interviews this week. You can catch them. You can drill through golf.com, Times of London. The part of it that's most notable for me was that he admitted in this interview that he had done some things, like he'd spoken indelicately or had not watched his phrasing.
Yeah, I think
or
it was when he said he was one of the five best players in the world. That was early in his career.
That's one of the things. But he also said we kind of talked trash about Spieth and Furyk at the Ryder Cup. He addressed some of the cheating stuff. I think this is showing
growth.
Nobody can deny that having him at a golf tournament is entertaining.
And he's another guy. You want to talk commitment to the DP Tour. He was playing on the DP Tour before Billy Ho could spell DP World. I mean, Patrick Reed loves to play worldwide. And one of the other things that those interviews addressed was this relentless, it's like the 54-hole jokes. It's like, oh, I thought they wanted to play less golf.
Everybody's just been talking around it forever. And this the passive aggression is just getting a little...
It's
tiresome.
So ridiculous. And I lean
into it. Go
kudos,
full,
I suppose, to P. Reed for even addressing it. But what's obvious is that he's still getting to spend more time with his family. He was a guy who was playing 34 events between the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. And now he's playing 8 plus DP World and a couple of Asia. And next year he'll play 14 plus hopefully the majors plus a few on the DP World Tour. He's still playing less golf, not to mention he's already playing. When he plays live golf events, it's 75% less than you have to on the PGA Tour. Sorry, 25%.
Right. Anyway, thank you. No, thank you for giving me a second to get that in. The thought of playing golf 136 times and keeping score in front of crowds is just like, that sounds like oppression to me.
And I thought
34 events. That's crazy.
And that's fine. And, you know, again, kudos to Patrick for addressing some of these things and, as you say, showing growth and admitting to some of the mistakes he's made. But also, what I think gets glossed over too much from the interview is that he's saying his daughter is being bullied at school, which is just about as scummy a thing as I can imagine. It's disgusting.
Yeah. And you talk about it enough in your home that your four-year-old daughter knows about it. Like, what's going on over there?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that, but that's low. That's, I don't know, that doesn't feel right.
Yeah. So anyway, back to Lowry. He became the first Irishman and second all-time to win this event since Harry Bradshaw in 1958. As I said, it was his first win in more than 3 years, and it moved him up to number 14 in the Data Golf World Rankings. And I want to point out that we're going to use Data Golf Rankings as frequently as we can. I'm going to try and stop using OWGR rankings because they're arbitrary and they're unnecessarily exclusive. And so unless they're relevant to something like getting into a particular major, I'm not going to talk about them. But unfortunately, for the time being at least, one of those things it is relevant to are major championship invites. So I should mention that Taylor Gooch's solo fourth moved him up to 35th in the OWGR rankings, which in all likelihood will keep him inside the top 50 at year end, which currently would get him his invitation to the Masters in April. Of course, he may also sort of currently get an invitation to the Masters in April because he finished sort of officially in the top 30 of the FedEx Cup standings, but that seems a little bit more ambiguous than simply being in the top 50 of the OWGR. So unless Fred Ridley and the powers that be at Augusta National decide to do something that I think would be a big mistake, to intentionally exclude LIV players, it seems to me like Taylor Gooch should be at Augusta next April.
Sounds good. I don't think the Masters has anything to gain by limiting their field even more and having so many former champions.
I totally agree. But excluded. But never underestimate the willingness of a powerful, rich man to do something stupid to show you how powerful and rich he is.
Yes. Yes. Like, so I first want to start off by saying, like, maybe the only majors that have ever counted are the ones with open qualifying, and anything beyond that is just a circus act kind of situation. But
yeah. I mean, they let 70-year-old guys out there goof off and play because they won the Masters 40 years ago. But
leave Ian Woosnam's name out of your mouth, Derek.
Woosie.
Come on, man.
Sorry to
worry. He earned his way there.
Hey, that's the best part. One of the highlights, one of my Masters trips was going to Luigi's and seeing Julie Crenshaw's husband counseling the Texas golf team who had come to support Bo
Hostler.
How
is Julie? Has anyone heard from Julie since she was named Hater and Loser of the Week? I don't think she's back on Twitter.
I have not seen any tweets.
No, she's laying low as far as I know, but hopefully their social media person has found her a burner and she's
sure
back
she's monitoring.
Back on the
she's
cosmos monitoring and laying down the law.
Twitter situation. all right. So you remind me, we also forgot to mention the TV coverage, which was an abomination. They memory holed all the LIV Golf players. I mentioned Taylor Gooch finished solo fourth. He eagled the last hole. They felt compelled, after not showing a single shot of his all round, to show his approach into the par 5 18th, which he hit to like 3 feet for eagle. They showed it recorded and then showed him tapping in his eagle to finish. At the time, he was one stroke behind. It was just disgusting. Like, how is this serving the fans? How is this giving us what we want? As I mentioned, BMW PGA Championship in the United States never finishes in the top 150 programs of any given day of those 4 days. It doesn't even record on the Nielsen ratings. I couldn't tell you how many viewers it gets because it's so few. And then now they get this lottery win. A bunch of good players have decided they want to come play this event. And what do? Well, we're not going to show them. Thanks a lot.
It's super mixed messaging. We want the players to come to make a tournament as vital as it can be for gate, for interest before the tournament, et cetera, et cetera. And then while it's actually going on and we're presenting the product, then we present part of it and don't tell the story. These kind of things don't make sense. If you were sitting there trying to strategize about how you were going to present your product for television, controlling the message and making it look like golf propaganda is not what you would be doing.
And all of you have reminded that I still need to Venmo Duff because he had broken the news. He had broken the news about Gooch making the eagle, and he was celebrating to me via text before I had a chance to see it live.
Because I was watching the online leaderboard. Yes, once again, I correctly picked the highest finisher of the group. I had Taylor Gooch solo fourth. J score, excellent pick with P Reed. I don't even know who did you pick, OTP.
I picked Adam Scott.
Yeah.
He's now like picking the Cubs back in 2000, right? He's just picking the Red Sox back in the day. They're so overdue. I feel like I'm just going to keep plugging on Adam Scott until he wins his first Champions Tour event.
I love it. But yes, please, each of you Venmo me $10. I've moved to 3 wins on the season out of 4 events. J-Score, you're still
this
at Goose.
This is a best finish. This is a top finish. This is not a win.
Well, that's a win. That's the competition. I won the competition that we agreed to.
This is like the net golf of betting. Congratulations.
It's not actually like that. We can talk about the difference.
I'm bitter.
I know.
Duffer, I'm bitter.
Stop picking Adam Scott. Listen,
we're going to start doing winners.
If you go back and listen, you'll hear me saying, no, that's too easy. I'm not going to do that. I'll take Taylor Gooch. I was going to take John Rahm. I would have picked the second place finisher, but I, as a favor to you, tried to pick somewhat more of a long shot. Pick Taylor Gooch. He's playing great golf. It was not a surprise to me, but
hey, congratulations.
Thanks, Taylor. Third win. What else happened in the world of pro golf this week? The PGA Tour named its player of the year. It was not Players Championship and Open Championship winner Cameron Smith. Instead, it was world number one, Scottie Scheffler. You can't really quibble with that pick. Scottie is certainly deserving, but I don't think it was not a 3-person race. It may have been a 2-person race, and if it was between Scheffler and Little Lord McIlroy. There was no way they were going to give it to Cam Smith.
Thank goodness it wasn't McIlroy on the power of finishing 8th, winning the Canadian Open presented by the Toronto VFW and the Tour Championship, which is obviously such a limited
win
field,
for the good guys. Gosh, just the good guys, McIlroy and Lowry. Every time one of these guys wins a tournament that has a LIV player in it, it's a huge, huge thing. It's a big win for the good guys. I love to see it.
But in all seriousness, Scottie Scheffler, that run he went on was pretty incredible as far as just competitive golf goes. I mean, that's a stretch that is
so. Speaking
super
of,
cool
there's a big rumor
on.
Today on Twitter that there's a top 10 player in the world who is, you know, this is a rumor that's coming from some accounts that have been successful in predicting new players in the past. So we don't know. It didn't name the particular player, but somebody is said to be joining LIV and somebody is said to be upset about the changes to the PGA Tour. And I think the quote was it becoming the Rory McIlroy Tour.
Are
you handicapping? Who do you like?
Probably Cantlay. If it's true, I guess my guess would be Cantlay. I can't see Scheffler made a big pile of cash this year. He looks like he'll be doing the same for a few years. Doesn't seem like he's going to go anywhere.
It wouldn't not John
Rahm. A lot
of
smoke around John Rahm, but he was being John Rahm this week. You know, didn't like seeing some of the players here. Yes, we talked about the fact that he seemed
to
be somewhat confused by the changes to the PGA Tour. Is it enough?
I love it. I love John Rahm complaining. It's the best. Like, he truly is just like saying what I would wonder in that same situation. Like, wait a minute, what? Like, we agreed to do how many
rounds?
It's
embarrassing, though. Isn't it embarrassing? Because you agreed to it. It was widely reported in the press that it was unanimous.
It'd be such an easy situation to just nod along with and be like, yeah, sure. Like, not really paying that much attention to it day to day and then having it just snowball into the situation where you're in a conference room and you're like, wait a minute, what's
going on? I would love to see him just volcano giving you 32 shots or something when you make a 12-footer for 6 net 4 to put him 2 down after 5. I mean, he whiffs some 8-footer for birdie.
I don't think John Rahm complains about playing net golf as much as you do, JT.
It's just a travesty. But anyway, I guarantee he de-paints putters just like me.
All right, you were in Cincinnati. Do you want to talk about that? Do you want to talk just for like 30 seconds about the LPGA Tour?
Yes, absolutely. At the Kroger Queen City LPGA Classic, I believe is the official name this weekend, to go watch a friend play and also take in some of the sights and sounds. Had a lot of friends over there. It was a great time.
Ohio.
Kenwood
Ohio
Country Club.
Football season. Yeah. I mean, was there a lot of Buckeye business going on there?
There was one guy in full regalia, including one of those embossed camo. There was a dark period of Nike time where they were like embossing camo on shirts. This was an Ohio State themed one. There were some Ohio State socks. Brother had on the golf shoes at the golf tournament. Big no.
You're not going to catch me in Ohio during football season.
Very, very, very tough. I waited for a later shuttle bus just to prevent any kind of violence.
Smart.
Anyway, Kenwood Country Club's absolutely beautiful. It's verdant. It's very much like Interlaken, if you remember that.
I do.
With an enormous clubhouse and very, very green. Their tree removal program was a great success. It is
very controversial.
Phenomenal. 12 out of 10 conditioning.
What would you pay if I were offering up 18 holes at auction? What's your upper limit to play that course?
Do I get to play with you guys?
Yes.
Or do I have to go?
No, you can play with the people you like.
Of course.
Oh, $2,000 for four of us.
Wow.
Okay.
$500 a piece, no problem.
Wow.
Yeah, because you can go get chili and then Jeff Ruby's after and make a big day of it. Like Cincinnati rocks.
I hope they throw in that Skyline chili for $500.
Anyway, it's great. And women's professional golf is wonderful. The crowds are always in great spirit.
So who won?
There's
who
so the many the little kids around. Allie Ewing was the winner, shot 100 under. I was only there on Saturday. It was very, very soft conditions up to the greens. Greens were very, very firm. Somehow it was a windy day, and I was posted up behind the ninth green for a long time, watching a number of groups coming through, including the leaders, and their ability to control distance on those shots uphill, controlling the bounces and spins. There's a 3 foot rise in that green, and the pin was just on the other side of it. And I think I probably saw 14 groups or something like that. So out of maybe 40 ladies who played the hole, 10 balls inside 6 feet. I mean, just incredible. Like from 140, hitting blind up the hill. Not one person leaves it short of the slope and has it roll back to the front of the green or any of that stuff. Moria Jutanagarn hits one in 7-inch bluegrass rough right in front of me. No chance. She takes a cut at this thing, comes out like a kitten with sore feet, runs down there, almost left it short. I look at the guy next to me. You guys obviously know my travails. And I say, I wouldn't have got one ball within 5 feet of that if I had a trash can full from here. Yeah. I mean, I started sweating as soon as I saw the ball.
Your chipping wells at some point.
as soon as the ball sits in the grass, I start to sweat. Like she won, down the back.
She won $262,500. She finished at 22 under. Lin Zhiyu, or Zhiyu Lin from China, finished one stroke behind at 21 under. And then there was a big gap between Lin Zhiyu and Maria Fassi. Third place at 16 under.
Murray Fossey, good to see her name up.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't play well on Sunday. She shot a 71, but third place gets her $116,676. It moves her up safely inside the top 80, which gives her the best of playing privileges for next year. So she's in good shape after being for much of last season in real danger of losing her card. So a big finish for Fossey.
Yeah, she's very popular. She had folks walking with her as she played. So when her group came through, there were people very interested in what she was doing.
We're going to do a preview later in the week. It'll either be Wednesday or Thursday for LIV Chicago. That's when we'll give our picks for the winner of the LIV Chicago event. OTP Lefty, you will be on site at least for some of the weekend. Is that right?
That is true. Going up for the first day and – definitely will be there on Sunday, and hopefully we'll catch some action on Saturday as well. So planning on a full slate, being out, taking in the sights and sounds, and enjoying that area of Illinois.
That area, not quite 40, Chicago. 45 miles west of Chicago. I've gotten some word from some of the powers that be at LIV Golf that the food is going to be better in the media center this time around. I want a full
just
review.
Just in time.
Yeah. I want to know breakfast. I want to know what kind of yogurt we're going to have. I want to know about lunch. I hope there's not rubber salmon and rubber chicken. I want to have full recap next Sunday. But we'll do the preview on Wednesday or Thursday. All right. Anything else, guys?
I wanted to talk a little bit about the announcement about the Hero Cup. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but for our listeners, a Ryder Cup-esque event in the DP World Tour will be revived, but rebranded. And I just want to say, you know, we've been touching on it a little bit. I don't understand exactly what Keith Pelley has been doing with
it's a clown,
the DP World Tour,
he's
but just
incompetent. He's a fool.
It's and he might be the way he's it may he might be so, under
that's an opinion. That's not a statement of fact.
Of course, no, of course.
But I don't want to get sued by
the Golf
here.
Illuminati.
My
has
he may be corrupt.
The Golf Illuminati has a lot of tentacles in this thing, and the way Keith Pelley
this is what at some point was called the Sevi Cup. Is that right?
Yes, yes. And the press release made zero mention of the Sevi Cup or Sevi.
In this silly made-for-TV event that they're proposing. Who's playing who? You don't even know.
No, I don't even know. I'm more just upset that the heritage of Sevi is sold. There's a lot of time before this event takes place. I live a busy life. I don't have my time to bother myself with who's in, who's out. The pro environment seems to be pretty dynamic.
You're
right,
just
I'm
trying
just
to throw a little shit on the way out the door here, like just another thing that Keith Pelley screwed up. Is that what we're doing here? You don't know the details, but you know he probably screwed something up.
All of this talk about heritage, legacy, prestige, honor, when the fact of the matter is that everything is about the money, always has been. And
yeah, I don't even understand how could this be the money. So they didn't name it after. I don't know the details of this.
It was once called the Sevi Trophy.
Yes. Once called the Sevi Trophy in honor of Sevi Ballesteros. And now it's known.
I believe it's Ballesteros.
Ballesteros. Thank you. I'll never pretend to be an expert at pronunciation.
You corrected me on Adrian Odigee. I still don't know. I still don't know what's going on.
Odigee? Odigee? Otagi? Otagi?
Oh, we haven't talked about Pooj.
Pooj is back. We like so excited. Turned pro. Left school.
So Pooj, for those of you who don't know, is David Puig. He's formerly at Arizona State, recently declared his intentions to turn pro. He missed the Live Boston event after playing the first two. And now he's back, baby. He's back big. He's playing for Torque GC, which for my money, for those of you who are participating in the giveaway contest, for my money, the Torque GC may be the best hat there is. This is his third team in three events.
But he's got a real team now. Joaquin Niemann is here since he was on his last team. Scott Vincent.
Yeah, Jedi I don't know if it's Morgan's a real team. Hanging by the way, your boy Pooj has not performed well in his previous live events. I mean, I don't think he's...
We're...
He hasn't been in
listen,
the top 40.
He's had an enormous life change here with turning professional. We've got some money coming in likely. We've got some new perspective on life.
It's interesting. I know you'll be, you know, you'll have that media pass on in Chicago. I want you to find out what's going on with Odigee and Puig. Odigee got the boot. He won't be around this week. He's playing in Italy on the DP World Tour at the course they'll be holding the Ryder Cup at next year. Was this a voluntary thing? I mean, you're going to get these kind of answers? Are you going to ask the hard-hitting questions? Big J journalism here for LLG?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Write it down, though, and take it with you.
I definitely don't have a problem talking to someone when I want to know something from them. So I can do that. Right.
Also,
so I will.
Is there a media guide that can help us with these pronunciations? That would be great.
That's a question we can ask the good folks at Live Golf.
Yeah, and we absolutely do not have to have a strategy meeting for the golf tournament on the podcast.
we can also just call Adrian whatever we want.
Yes.
Send in
any of your suggestions to contest at livelaughgolf.com. And the best suggestion for something I should do that's actually legal in Chicago, we'll send you 25 cents.
All right. Anything else?
No. I'm good.
Don't
forget. I'm looking forward to Wednesday. This is going to be there's a lot of golf course stuff to do. It's going to be good.
The fan experience, yes. Man. We want to hear about beer prices. We want to hear about the food. I'm sure there's going to be sausages. It's going to be great. I'm envious of you. I wish I could have made it this week, but I'll be back in Miami. Don't forget to enter the giveaway contest. Review ratings on Apple Podcasts. Tell us who you think is going to win in Chicago. All right. We'll see you later in the week.
Go Pooge!